Good morning, Anthony. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to talk to you again. Now, I wonder, did you see it coming when Jean Lapierre read that list, banning you among the others from the Liberal Party?
No, I didn't see it coming, but nothing this government does surprises me. I was actually in the middle of an interview by Nancy Wood from CBC.
Television,
and
And
my assistant brings me in a note saying that Lapierre has made this comment. The interview was simply an analysis because I wasn't named for blame. I had never received any Section 13 letters, and here comes Lapierre with his Nixonian enemies list. So it's a red badge of courage. This is what comes when you have a government that is insecure, that is more interested in hiding its own problems and buying votes and not really opening up the party to the kind of debate we had. It eviscerated liberalism. I was surprised that it happened. I was angry. Lapierre was reckless. And frankly, Lapierre was defamatory, because when he was asked why these 10, he said because it related to people who Gomery had found dealt with tainted money. I had nothing to do with any of this.
Well,
so this was political retribution for my opposition to the Martin policies.
Well, it's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you this morning, because I think you'd agree with me that in Mr. Justice Gomery's report, he doesn't speak to you in very flattering terms, but nor does he find you to be particularly involved with anything that would...
He didn't find me involved with anything, as I said. You know what a Section 13 letter is. If you're going to be named for blame, you have to get that letter and then respond. I never got the letter. Mr. Gomery has an absolute right not to like me. He said, and I'll quote it, he said, I question Mr. Wiseman's credibility because he showed a greater affection for Mr. Morselli and an open disgust for Mr. Breaux. Well, would Miss Judge Gomery have preferred that I lied and went the other way and made something to fit his preconceived notions? Because remember what the terrible effects of Gomery, and this is no apologia for the advertising companies, the terrible effects of Gomery are the following. He says at the beginning, we have to exonerate the Prime Minister, because the Prime Minister says he was out of the loop. Therefore, if he says he was out of the loop, he was ignorant of what was going on, and we have to believe him. Judge Gomery has now set up two levels of justice in this country, because if some poor citizen breaks the law and says he's ignorant that he broke the law, ignorance is no defense. So do we now have two standards of justice in this country? The means are all important. Judge Gomery also said, for example, that he liked Gite's testimony, except he was selective. He decided not to address the fact that Chuck Gite said that the Prime Minister was the first minister to intervene in sponsorship. That was in the Ottawa phase of Gite's testimony. Judge Gomery chose not to discuss the fact that Alan Cutler, who blew the whistle, the bureaucrat who opened this thing up, presented two letters from a major staffer of Martin's in 94 and 96 asking for money from sponsorship. Judge Gomery chose not to address the uncontested testimony that another senior aide in the year 2000 asked for $1 million for the man who was running the $1,000 ticket cocktails for the Prime Minister. And, finally, he chose not to address the fact that the Prime Minister was, as Vice Chairman of the Treasury Board, as Minister of Finance, admitted signing off on unity funds. If he didn't know, he should have known. And so the judge was very selective in his characterization and subjective, and that is not proper justice.
Yeah, now, it must be said, though, Mr. Wiseman, this is not a court we're talking about, right? This is a lengthy report, and in that report he says about you that you were a very poor witness, and you gave the impression that you were more interested in boasting about your own importance and in attacking the credibility of everyone who disagrees with you, rather than in telling the
and
truth.
The only reason I was at Gomery was because an operative of the Liberal Party came to try to discredit the work I had done at the Liberal Party. We tried to open the party up to cultural communities and social action groups. They didn't like it. Everything that man said in his testimony, I disproved with my documents. He said he destroyed evidence. I brought the evidence. So everything Desan said he was intuitive about, I had it black and white, including my credentials from the party that showed that there was nothing parallel going on. The fact that Gomery chose to ignore it and be subjective to his report, he will have to live with his conscience.
Now, you were hired by Joe Morselli, right?
Not at all. I had met Joe Morselli at a political cocktail.
Okay.
My mandate was directly from the political minister of Quebec, who I had never met to that point.
Okay, but Morselli, then that was Galliano, right?
That was Galliano, that's correct.
But is Morselli the guy that put you in touch with Galliano?
At that cocktail in November of 2000, he introduced us, yes.
Okay, so he helped get you in the employment of the Liberal Party.
I wasn't looking for employment. He asked me, if I would take on a project to broaden the base of the party, because the base was narrow, the fundraising was going badly, And he asked me, he said, look, you've got great relations with the cultural communities and the social action groups. Could you bring them into the party? I said, I would try, but not just to sell tickets. They must have a place on the political commissions and the finance commissions. And if they don't have that respect, if you're not going to give the respect for the voice of the most vulnerable in our community, I'm not sacrificing a 25-year relationship with these people to sell tickets for you.
Now, this guy, Mr. Breaux, who faces criminal charges, you know, one of the contentions Gomery had to deal with was that Mr. Breaux claimed that he was paying you $5,000 a month, something like that?
Yes, but it never happened, and Joe Morselli himself in his testimony said the $5,000 at the famous restaurant never happened. He, Mr. Morselli, picked up $5,000 from him several weeks later.
Okay, let's wrap this up, coming back to where we started us with the ban. So you've been banned from the Liberal Party, which if I understand you weren't even really a member of anymore.
I was not a member, and there's no such thing as a ban.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a second. So you're banned, Joe Morselli's banned, and Alfonso Galliano's banned. Do you have any thoughts about why Mr. LaPierre limited it to like a top 10 list and didn't take it all the way I don't know, maybe even Mr. Chrétien? You have any thoughts about that?
Number one, the number 10, is, as Ian MacDonald wrote in the National Post, is a very nice number. But the blowback on this government will be enormous, because the institutional memory of Canadians, we are a good and generous people, but we're getting back our righteous indignation that we've lost. It will bring back and resonate with the McCarthy at Hollywood 10. It will bring back and resonate the Nixonian enemies list. Every government that is insecure, every government that is feb, that is weak, that has no vision, needs enemies, because that's the way they survive. I was on that list simply because of my opposition to the policy to this government. It was reckless. It was defamatory.
I'm Beryl Wiseman. I really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.